Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Father, we thank you, too, for leading us and guiding us in your wisdom and showing us your really great news of the Word of God and how we can not struggle or strive to bring things to pass, but just to believe you, Lord. Put our trust in what you've already done for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think I'm going to do part two of Believe You Have Received. And it's real good news. You know, there are catch-all verses in the Bible, such as Mark 11:24. When you receive this revelation and start acting upon it, you're going to have a miraculous life. It's basically saying that salvation covers everything you need. Salvation has already been done, and all that's been provided for us was done at the cross. Mark 11:24 confirms that. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever, that covers it all. There is nothing that you don't need saving from. It covers it all. Most of the church doesn't believe this. It's foolishness to them because they're worldly minded. They just jump right over it and ignore it, which they've been taught to do. They don't believe the power of God is available to us today, and that's because they don't believe the gospel. This is a revelation of the gospel. The real good news. Mark 11:24 again. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them. That's right, it's past tense. And here we see it again. Believe that you received them, and you shall have them. By grace have you been saved. It's already been done. All of it's already been done. All of it. And we just, when we pray, it's to get our mind in agreement with God. And then we believe we have received what God already says we have. Notice that what he's saying, believe that you have received them. That it's past tense. The numeric pattern proves that is past tense in both the Nestle's text and the Textus Receptus, some which had a part in the King James Version. But it says in the footnote there too, received. The Greek word is received. Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you have received them. That's what it means. You have received them, and you shall have them. Note that you are supposed to believe that you have received it in the physical realm. You need to be seeing that and walking that way as though it is done. And why is it that we are to believe that we have received? Because Ephesians 2:8 says, by grace have you been saved. And saved covers everything that we need through faith. Saved is sozo, right? And it's used for everything in the Bible. Healing, deliverance, provision, on and on. Okay. Jesus taught that we must believe we received everything we pray for in order to receive it in the physical realm. And he taught that we have to believe we received it before we get it. So, if he says all things we pray for, this is his, as I spoke about in part one, this is his preference. The prayer of importunity should bring you to faith that you have received. And it's God being weak to the weak. Okay. Therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them, and you shall have them. According to the scriptures, we received all our prayers answered at the cross. All provision for all prayers was guaranteed there for those who repent and believe. Repentance, change your mind. If you're not willing to change your mind because you have a religious spirit, you won't catch on to this power of God that's being offered. So being convinced of this gives us a foundation of faith that makes answered prayer the normal Christian life. And that's not the normal Christian life in most churches. They're shocked if they get an answer to prayer. And that's not the way of those who live by faith. This revelation has brought miraculous answers to multitudes. Many are waiting for their answers, not realizing that this is not faith, which is the very substance of the thing hoped for. Once a person sees that God speaks the end from the beginning, and he teaches his children to walk in his steps, they have the main key to the kingdom. God teaches that he has already provided the answers to all prayers. Then we can quit spending all of our energy trying to get God to answer and begin receiving what he has already given in every area of our life. For he said, all things whatsoever. Romans 1:17 says, for therein is revealed a righteousness of God from faith unto faith. That's the way we should go, from faith unto faith. And faith is believing you have received. As it is written, but the righteous shall live from faith. Literally, the word is from faith. Numeric pattern is in that. And it's not by faith, it's from faith. Your faith is where your life is. Because if you walk by faith, speak faith, think faith, you're going to receive all of the provision of God. God puts a high premium on people who believe and act upon his word. James 2:17. Even so, faith, if it have not works, is dead in itself. In other words, if you believe you've received, how are you going to walk? How are you going to speak? Right? Yea, a man will say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith apart from thy works, and I by my works will show thee my faith. You see, your actions are going to prove whether you believed you have received or not. People who act on what the word says are going to see results. They will receive power from God. Hebrews 10:38, but my righteous one shall live from faith. The numeric pattern again proves that the correct translation is from faith, not by faith. Okay. Our spiritual heavenly life comes from faith. Hebrews 10:38, but my righteous one shall live from faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul hath no pleasure in him. But we're not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul. Right? Amen. So we, like God, learn to, well, according to Romans 4:17, call the things that are not as though they were. Call the things that you don't see in the physical realm as though it's already done. They were. And our faith has the power to create all of our needs. In other words, it's our faith that is used to create whatever is needed. God wants us to be convinced of this. We can't walk in the power of God unless we understand this. Jesus spoke words, as Mark 11:23-24 says, and he believed that what he said was going to come to pass. And it happened. There was power with him. First, you have to have this understanding. There was power with him because he believed that what he said was going to come to pass. And I know it's a learning curve, and it starts out kind of mechanical, I would say. I've always called it that. Let's see, A, B, C, I do this, this, and that. Yeah, but God honors that until it becomes a part of your nature, until it becomes something that is so in you and ingrained in you that it's natural for you to do it. You know, so we, like God, learn to call the things that are not as though they were. Ephesians 2 and 8 says, "For by grace." Now, we know that grace is unmerited and unearned. It's not by your efforts. It's a free gift. So you can work for it. You can't work for it. Excuse me. It can only come by faith. Salvation is not by works. It's by faith. That's why God wants us to exercise what he calls faith. Ephesians 2 and 8 again. "For by grace have you been saved through faith." Have you been saved? Some versions say, "Are you saved?" Well, if you are, then it has been done, right? But the true version is, "Have ye been saved?" And the numeric pattern in the Nestle's text agrees. It's Nestle's text is a composition of three different ancient manuscripts, the most ancient manuscripts. All of them are older than the received text, closer to the apostles. And they say, "Have you been saved?" Because salvation was accomplished at the cross in every form. Salvation, spirit, soul, body, mind, circumstances, etc. It was accomplished at the cross. And the word "saved" here, of course, again, is the word "sozo." It's the verb of the noun "soteria," which covers everything. It actually means all my needs supplied, like a little baby, you know, soteria. Sozo is the verb of that. So it covers all your needs supplied. And all your needs were supplied at the cross. That's what salvation is. Many people think that salvation is only the salvation of your spirit. But no, that's only your toe in the door right there. And you must bear fruit of that, right? The fruit in your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. So, like I said, people think that salvation is only the salvation of your spirit. But no, we're going to see that it's not just your spirit. Salvation includes not just your spirit. It also includes your soul, your body, your circumstances, so that all of your needs are met completely. Ephesians 2 and 8. "By grace have you been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works." There it is. See, everybody is into works, and God doesn't honor that, because you can't be picking yourself up by your bootstraps. You cannot save yourself. It is not by works. It's by faith. Faith puts it all in the hands of God. You're believing you have received, and he's going to bring it to pass. And it's not of works, that lest no man should glory, right? So that no man should glory. And, you know, because we are born again, we have the power to cast down vain imaginations. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, of course, that's a vain imagination that is stopping you from receiving from God, stopping you from believing you have received, right? 2 Corinthians 10 and 5, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that is exalted against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." So we cast down these vain imaginations, and we begin to speak in agreement with the fact that we have received. We act as if we have received. We imagine that we have received. You know, your whole man needs to get involved in this, right? We've been made in the image of our Father, and our imagination is very powerful when mixed with our faith to do miracles. And believing that you have received should take over your whole being, from your mouth to your eyes to your feet. Everything that you do should be in agreement with the fact that you have already received. And if you're trying to apprehend, to go after, to buy salvation by your own works in any form, it's because you don't believe you have received. What do you do when you believe you have received? You stop. You cease. I've got it. It's mine. So believing you have received causes us to cease from doing our own works so that God may do his. Because that's what he does. When, as long as you're doing it, he backs off and says, have at it. Let's see if you can save yourself. God doesn't start his works until we cease from ours. Our works are what keep God from doing his. And when we let God do his works, it's called the rest. The rest. And we're to enter into his rest. If you believe that you have received, what do? You rest. You cease from your own works. You cease from struggling, striving after this thing, finding the best doctor, the best, whatever. Whatever. You're seeking to have something God says you already have. You enter into his rest, which is our spiritual New Testament Sabbath of ceasing from our works on his holy day. Notice that everything, it's not just one day, by the way, it's every day. There remaineth therefore a sabbatismos for the people of God. The sabbatismos is a continual rest. You rest every day. The type and shadow was the Old Testament Sabbath. Okay. The fulfillment is this that I'm talking about. Well, notice that everything we've talked about so far is past tense. It's all in the past. And this is really good news. This is a thing that takes away all of your efforts and lets you keep all of your paycheck in many cases because it's not necessary. God's going to give it to you. It's a gift. It's free. It's unmerited. It's grace. That's what grace is. He's going to just give you whatever the salvation that you need. Another good example is found in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self, there it is again, bear, who his own self bear. It's past tense. It's already accomplished, already finished. By grace have you been saved through faith. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his body upon a tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, and by whose stripes you were healed. There it is again. You were healed. Do you believe the word of God? Some people say this is only spiritual healing, don't have nothing to do with physical. No, they don't know what they're talking about. Everybody that's used this for physical healing has gotten it, so they weren't mistaken. We've already been sozoed. It's a word that identifies healing, and here it's being used the same way. You were already healed at the cross, by whose stripes you were healed. You were sozoed. If we believe that we were healed, then how are we going to react to the bad news that we hear all around us? People who walk by sight, and all the professional people, and all the doctors, and the hireling theologians, they all walk by sight. They don't know how to get hold of the power of God for salvation. They don't know the gospel, the good news, that all of this has already been accomplished by Christ. They don't know that the gospel is the power of God to save you. The good news that it's already done at the cross is the power of God to save you. Whatever your salvation needs, They can't get a hold of that power because they walk by sight and don't walk by faith. So they receive the bad news. This way, only believers get the benefits. God designed it that way. So they receive the bad news because they're not walking by faith. They receive the bad report because they walk in physical sight and they don't receive the good news, which is walking by faith. There's a big difference. We can thank the Father that He made us able through His gift of faith that He's already given to us. 2 Thessalonians 3:2 says that for all have not faith, but He has given to each one of us, that is to God's elect, the measure of faith. He's already given it. Don't say you don't have faith. Claim your faith. Reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God. Romans 12:3. For I say, through the grace that was given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so to think as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. So all have not faith, but each man is given the measure of faith. Notice. Okay, so the true people of God are the ones who walk by faith. They're believers, not what the world loosely calls Christians. They're believers. So He made us able. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father who made us meet, which means able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The saints in light means the saints who walk in the light. We're able to partake of everything that the saints who walk in light are capable of partaking of. That's what He's saying. And Colossians 1:13, who delivered, past tense, us out of the power of darkness. So He's already delivered us out of the power of darkness, out of the power of Satan, out of the power of the flesh, the world, the demons. It's already been accomplished. When the devil tells you that he has you in bondage, you remember that you were already delivered, and don't buy that lie. Accept the good news. And the good news, it will set you free. Accept the good news, which is the power of God to save you. If you do not agree with the good news, God cannot bring it to pass. People live under the curse all their life, thinking it's the normal Christian life. But the Lord delivered us. You're not under the power of the devil. The devil has deceived many people into thinking that he has legal power over them. How can they be deceived? Because they don't read their Bible and they don't believe it. So he takes advantage of that, which he should. Because that proves who's a believer and who isn't. He only has power when we walk in willful disobedience, as Hebrews 10:26 says. If we sin willfully after we receive a knowledge of the truth, there remains no sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment, which shall devour the adversaries. And it does. It devours these adversaries. The devil doesn't have any power, because Jesus told us in Matthew 28:18, all authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth. And verse 19, he sent them out. Go ye therefore. So he sent out his disciples to exercise that same authority over the devil's kingdom. Colossians 1:13, who delivered, past tense, us out of the power of darkness and translated, past tense, us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have our redemption, past tense, the forgiveness of our sins. We already have our redemption. What's redemption? Redemption is the Greek word apolutrosis, and it means a release on payment of a ransom. In other words, the devil was holding you ransom. And here a ransom is paid when a person is being held captive, when they're being kept in bondage. The ransom sets them free. This has already been done. The price has been paid for us to be set free from bondage to the devil, set free from bondage to the flesh, set free from bondage to the curse. The price has already been paid by our Lord Jesus Christ. And you can't earn your redemption. It's by grace. Ephesians 2 and 8. By grace have you been saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no man should glory. So redemption, apolutrosis, our release from bondage, and the forgiveness of our sins has already been accomplished at the cross. Praise be to God. And here's another awesome revelation, Galatians 2 and 20. I have been, past tense, I have been crucified with Christ. Are you seeking to be crucified, or are you receiving the free gift of crucifixion? I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live. There you go. He's seeing the end from the beginning. But Christ liveth in me. Okay, it's already happened. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God who loved me and gave, past tense, himself up for me. You don't have to worry about your old man. Many people talk so much about we have to walk in the crucified life, we have to be crucified, we have to do this or that. But think more like this. You have already been crucified. The old you doesn't live anymore. Romans 6:11. Reckon ye yourselves to be dead unto sin. Consider it done. That's past tense. Consider it done. But alive unto God in Christ Jesus. And this is because it was accomplished at the cross. If you exercise faith in that, the Lord will bring your crucifixion to pass. Otherwise, you'll just struggle, right? We don't want to struggle. That's our works. Struggling is just our works. If you try to do it yourself, you'll be trying to pick yourself up by your bootstraps, and you will constantly fail. You'll fall short of the glory of God. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Wow. Since you're dead and he lives, the reconciliation, the exchange, was accomplished at the cross. You were crucified, and Christ is now given to you as the gift of God. Christ is manifesting in you, and you are entering into the rest by resting from your own works through your faith in this promise. Hebrews 4 and 3, for we who have believed do enter into that rest. When you believe, you cease. When you believe it's already done, you stop trying to make it come to pass. This is entering into the rest. God's giving you the promise. The land of rest, by the way, was also called the promised land because that's where the promises were fulfilled. Now he's given us the real good news here that we've been crucified with Christ and we don't live anymore. He lives in us. And believe me, he's the only one that can live the Christian life because Christian means Christ-like. So he lives in us, and we're justified by faith in this promise. That faith is accounted as righteousness. If you're only considering what you do to be important and the way there, you're going to fail. You're actually under the law and don't know it. Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of the law is everything that happened contrary to man's well-being because he was in rebellion against God's will. And you can read that curse of the law in Deuteronomy 28. Galatians 3 and 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Now, many people are going back over to the law to try to fulfill the law because they think it makes them righteous. No, it doesn't. You're cut off from Christ, Paul said. That's right. So he became a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Glory be to God. And Abraham was blessed in all things, the Bible says, all things. You want the faith of Abraham? That's what we're talking about. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy begat, that's past tense, us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It happened back there. You were begat again, which means born again. You were born again back there. That's why you're claiming born again by faith. It's not that you have manifested born again. It's that you're claiming the gift that was given back there, and then God is bringing it to pass. So being born again is much deeper and broader than just accepting Jesus as your Savior, which the Bible says nothing about, and receiving a new spirit, because he says, 1 Peter 1:5, unto a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, it's going to become manifested. As you walk by faith, the end of your faith is going to be the manifestation of born again. Spirit, soul, body, circumstances, and everything, you see. Because 1 Peter 1:9 says, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. It's not your spirit, it's your souls. You've already been saved in spirit, but your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions need to be saved into the image of Jesus Christ. So you see here, it's not the beginning of your faith that is the salvation of your soul. The beginning of your faith is the salvation of your spirit. Okay. But now, the fruit that's in your spirit must be in your soul, and it comes there through obedience. It's by faith that we are born again at the cross. First spirit, then soul, and then body. 1 Peter 1:21 says, who through him are believers in God that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and your hope might be in God, who already finished it. Notice. Verse 22, seeing, this is what you're supposed to see as a Christian, as a believer. When we see the word seeing, it's used like this in the scriptures. It's talking about accepting something by faith. Seeing, you have purified. Notice this is past tense because it's already been done. You have purified your souls in your obedience to the truth. Notice it, how your soul is actually purified in your obedience to the truth. Who gives you the power to obey? The Lord does. He does it because of your faith that you've already received this, you see. Unto the unfeigned love of the brethren. There's a lot of fake love of the brethren out there, people putting on airs, okay. Love one another from the heart fervently. Verse 23, having been begotten again. Remember, begotten here means born, same word. Not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. Now, we're talking about the incorruptible seed here. We're talking about what the Bible actually says. Not what men say the Bible says, but what the Bible actually says. That's the incorruptible seed. You want to be born of that incorruptible seed. And incorruptible through the word of God, which liveth and abides. So, here's born again of soul, and those who walking in bearing the 30, 60, and 100-fold fruit of a born-again soul will also have a born-again body. Notice your soul is purified through what? Your obedience to the truth. How do you get obedience? You get obedience by giving faith to God, because then he gives you grace to obey. Grace is unmerited favor. He works in us to will and to do of his good pleasure, you see. That's what salvation is all about. How do you get him to do that? Faith. The disciples asked, what must we do to do the works of God? Believe on him whom he has sent. It's all his works, saints, not your works, right? How awesome is the word of God. Hebrews 10:10. By God's will, we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. It's past tense. Sanctified means set apart. We have been set apart from sin, set apart from the curse, set apart unto God. It's Hebrews 12 and 14. The sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. And we're manifesting our sanctification more and more as we walk in him by faith. Here we're told that this has been done at the cross. Hebrews 10 and 14, for by one offering he hath perfected, hath is past tense, forever them that are sanctified. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He perfected you at the cross. I know some people say perfection is not possible, but they have never looked at a concordance at the word perfection in the Bible, because they're calling God a liar. They don't know what the Bible says, because we're not talking about our power. We're talking about God's power. He is able to save to the uttermost them that draw nigh unto him. And it says here that he hath perfected us. Salvation in every form has already been accomplished. And that's why Jesus said, Mark 11 and 24, therefore I say unto you, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you received them and you shall have them. Awesome. Think about that. It's an awesome promise. Ephesians 1 and 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. No, past tense. Notice. Who hath blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Where is all this blessing? In Christ. How do we abide in Christ? We abide in Christ because, first of all, by faith. We believe that we've been crucified with Christ and we don't live. Christ lives in us. First of all, that's how you enter into Christ. And you stay there by continuing to believe the promises so that he can give you the grace to be obedient and to walk with him. He's already blessed us with everything in Christ, which is where heavenly places are. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Of course, it's our faith which justifies this, and our faith is what God causes to turn and empower us and to provide for us everything that we need. And even faith is a gift from God. Not everybody has faith, as we've already seen. Ephesians 1 and 4. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blemish before him in love. Yes. And notice that's before the foundation of the world. He chose us in him. Again, it's past tense. He chose us to be holy and without blemish. And this is the way to be holy and without blemish. We are to exercise faith for it because he has already provided this for us. 2 Peter 1 and 2, grace to you and peace be multiplied in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing, we see this by faith, though through the eyes of the Spirit, not through the eyes of the flesh. Seeing that his divine power hath granted. That's right. He hath granted. You have to see that it has been done. This is the good news of the gospel. Use your imagination. See that it has been done. Confess that it has been done for you. Thank God that it has been done, because this is the gospel that saves. 2 Peter 1 and 3, seeing that his divine power hath granted unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Everything that pertains unto life, that's God's life, Zoe life, not your soulish life, and godliness, through the knowledge of him. So it takes knowledge, right? Through the knowledge of him, you get this revelation. I'm giving you some knowledge here, right? Through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. So you won't do this without knowledge. You have to know what you're looking at right now. You have to know what faith is. And how do you know what to exercise faith in without knowledge? You have to know what has been given unto you so that you know how to exercise faith. It's so that you can know how to believe God. Can you do that? Can you practice seeing that God has already given to you everything you need? That's the real gospel, and that's why it's called the good news. And the gospel, Romans 1 and 16, is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So you see, you're able to be saved to the uttermost if you continue to believe God. He that endureth to the end shall be saved. Now that's talking about the manifestation of your salvation. If you endure to the end, you'll see the manifestation of this salvation. Right now, you're saved by faith because you haven't seen it all. But faith is the way to get there. And if you walk by faith, sight now, you will not get there. You will not arrive there. This is a test to see who is a believer. And this is why living by faith is so important. Everything that you need from God has already been provided. You don't have to beg him. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 7, "And in praying, use not vain repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." Well, I got news for you. People who think that way end up getting discouraged and they don't pray again. They don't pray because they don't get any answers, because they're not looking in the right direction. They're not seeing it done behind them. That's what faith is. "Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of." You don't have to keep reminding God over and over and over and over and over. He already knows what you need before you even ask him, it says here. Many people think a simple prayer is not enough. Well, if you have faith, it is. Now, there is the prayer of importunity. When you don't have any faith, you can pray and you can pray and you can pray until God gives you the faith. But we already know from James chapter 1 that if you don't have faith, you're not going to receive. So therefore, the prayer of importunity has to end in faith. Don't just think you're going to be heard for speaking it, because it's not going to happen. Yes, you can ask God to give you faith. But faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the word. I'm trying to give you the foundation of faith here, you see. God gives you the faith, and then you can receive. But then there is, of course, the prayer of faith, which Romans 4:17 calleth the things that are not as though they were. They were done. It was done. This is the prayer of faith. This is how it works. Hebrews 11 and 1 in the King James Version says, "Now faith is the substance." It is a substance. It's the substance of the things hoped for. Are you hoping for something? Well, then you have to have the substance to make it out of, right? "The evidence of things not seen." It's evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is the substance. It's the bricks that you give to God who builds the house. That's what your faith is. Now, if you're out there making bricks for the Egyptians, that's the works of the flesh. That's where a lot of people are. They're making bricks. They're slaves to the old man, the Egyptian, and they're not getting their answers. They're staying in bondage. Again, many of you are seeking healing. But we were healed. We were delivered from our sins. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare, past tense, our sins in his body upon the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Do you not believe that you were healed? And if you were healed, what do you have to do? You have to rest in him and thank him for it and praise him for it. And not be double-minded. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man's going to receive anything from the Lord. Romans 6 and 22 says, but now being made free from sin, you've been made free from sin. What we're coming to understand is that we need to see ourselves in the light of what the scripture says has already happened. We need to see ourselves as people who have already been saved, already been delivered, already been healed, already been provided for, already been protected by God's hand. And if we do that, we learn to enter into God's rest. We learn that God has already provided all these things for us. It only remains for us to enter into those works which he has done from the foundation of the world. And we do that through our faith. Again, 2 Peter 1 and 3, seeing that his divine power hath granted, past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that called us by his own glory and virtue. Notice that this is what we need to be seeing in the spirit, not what we can see in the flesh. This is what it is to walk in the spirit and to have eyes of the dove, as Song of Solomon 4 and 1 says, which is to see things the way God commands us to see things, the way the Spirit of God chose us to see things. And if we did this, we'd be full of God's holy boldness, power, and his dominion in the earth. It is finished. John 12 and 31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. When did it happen? Well, it happened when he said now. Some people might say, well, Jesus must have made a mistake because the devil's still around. No, the devil was cast out and his power was broken at the cross. That's why Jesus said now. It's because it was happening right there. The devil was conquered. Now, he wants to convince you that he's not going to, but it's like Eve in the garden. The devil tempted her to not believe what God said. And I'm afraid a lot of people have fallen for that. Don't worry, folks. Your enemies have been destroyed by the cross. John 16 and 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace, and in the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to be tested. You're going to go through the trial of your faith to see if you are a believer. He goes on, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. We can be happy because he has already overcome the world. Now, maybe you can understand that he actually did overcome the whole world. Everything in our life that is contrary to godliness, Jesus has taken care of it already. He conquered the devil, the world, the flesh, everything. Jesus said when he was on the cross, John 19 and 30, it is finished. That means it's behind us. It's already done. Wow. Glory be to God, folks. It is finished. He conquered everything. This is the good news. Many people don't know the good news. This is the really, really good news. It's finished. He conquered everything. He provided all. All our needs supplied like a little baby. Soteria. It has been taken care of. Now you know why Paul said, "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." He has already provided it. He's already given it to you. It is yours. So he's not going to withhold it from you. All you have to do is go to him by faith, believing that you have received. You see? Why are people not getting all their needs supplied? It's very clear. They don't believe the gospel. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. Wow. Our awesome God. Does that not make the gospel look bigger to you? Does it not give you faith? Don't you want to run out and try Mark 11:23-24 and speak those things that are bringing down the kingdom of this world and believe for those things that are going to meet your every need? Be diligent to do this. Many great men of God in the past founded their prayers on those verses. And maybe they didn't apply everything that I'm applying here, but you can see that I pointed out it's past tense. It is finished. It is finished. And Father, we thank you. We love you. We praise you. We ask you to give us your gifts of faith, Lord, to believe what we're talking about here. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you for your miraculous gospel. Lord, it's such a grieving thing to see so many of your people doing without when it's in the Bible. It's been there all along. All they have to do is read and believe. I suggest to them, if they're not having a powerful life, to go home from your church, get in your Bible, find out what it says, and don't get out of it until you got power. And, as I said last time, be filled with the Holy Spirit, just the way they got filled. If you get what they got, you'll do what they did. It's very simple. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, saints, God bless you and keep you. Michael Hare's coming, and he's going to share a revelation too. And Father, we praise you and we thank you, Lord, that your anointing is there to help and bless them and everybody that's listening. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night.